Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel for today about the Lord in the temple when he was 12. I'll read first the introduction to Luke, the first four verses. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely from the beginning, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. And then from our gospel for today, a couple of verses. Chapter 2, verse 49. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? And verse 52, the last verse. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and man. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Christian friends, our Lord Jesus was already showing signs of amazing maturity and wisdom from the age of 12. No doubt his parents could see this wisdom in him from a very early age. Most of us, on the other hand, can often look back and regret something we've thought or said or done. With Agur, the son of Jakeh, in the second last chapter of Proverbs, we may say to ourselves, "Surely I'm too stupid to be a man. I've not the understanding of a man. I've not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One." Pastor Martin Frundsman was a 20th century American hymn writer and teacher. He wrote the hymn in our supplement, "Your Strong Word Broke Through the Darkness." He taught at Westfield House in Cambridge in the UK with a number of our Australian pastors, including Elmore Leske and Glenn Sweck. In explaining Lutheran teaching, Frundsman spoke of the radical gospel: grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, scripture alone, or word alone. And he highlighted our need for this gospel by pointing to Agur, son of Jakeh. "Surely I am too stupid to be a man." And doesn't the glory of this radical gospel shine out in our Christmas gospel readings from St. Luke? What care Luke took to follow up on everything that happened at the first Christmas and everything our Lord and taught later on, and how careful he was to report it all accurately. When I was a schoolboy growing up in Natamuck in Western Victoria, I'd often call in at our family's newspaper office on the way home and sometimes help my Auntie Lila collate newspapers. Displayed on the wall was this watchword for journalists: "Is it true? If not, don't write it. If not sure, make sure." Later, when the newspaper moved into Horsham, that watchword was still there for the reporters to see. St. Luke was one who, if he wasn't sure, made sure. How many of the 12 apostles, how many of the original eyewitnesses and ministers of the word didn't he interview? Who would be Luke's best source for the Christmas stories? Who better to interview? Surely Mary herself, the mother of our Lord. After the story about the angels and the shepherds, Luke writes, "Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." And again in this morning's story about what happened when Jesus was 12, we read at the end, "His mother treasured up all these things in her heart." And yes, we can picture Luke sitting down with Mary and hearing the whole story from her own lips. I wasn't aware until a few weeks ago when Lois Sweck, whom some of you may know from the Lutheran archives, Lois Sweck told me that St. Luke had been the patron saint of artists. That's based on what's probably a legend, a really nice legend, that Luke didn't just interview Mary, he also painted her. This story about the 12-year-old Jesus is the last time we hear of St. Joseph. It seems he must have died before Jesus began his ministry when he was about 30. But he didn't die before he had taught Jesus his trade, the building trade, and taught him so well that St. Mark's Gospel calls Jesus himself the builder. But then Joseph dies. Mary, on the other hand, was one of the four women who witnessed her son's crucifixion. And after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, Luke records in Acts chapter 1 that she's there in the upper room just before the first Pentecost Sunday. She's there with the apostles, with Jesus' brothers, with 120 people all together, all devoting themselves to prayer, together with the apostles, together with the women, and with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Assuming that Luke interviewed her only a few years after Pentecost, she may have still been in her 50s, her upper 50s perhaps, or her early 30s. Still with a very good memory, still not subject, like some of us, to seniors' moments. So Luke hears from Mary about her son when he was 12, going up to Jerusalem for Passover together with a caravan of pilgrims from Galilee, a large company of people travelling together for safety's sake. That road from Jericho up to Jerusalem was notorious, really steep, beginning below sea level, going up to Jerusalem over 2,000 feet up, really a steep road and a very dangerous one, as we hear in Luke's story about the Good Samaritan. The Galilean pilgrims go up for Passover and spend a day or two at the temple. Then they head home. After a day's journey, everyone camps for the night. And it's only then that his parents realise Jesus isn't there. It takes them another day to make the steep trip back up to the holy city. And then they spend a day looking everywhere for him until they eventually find him in the place where they should have been looking in the first place. Anyone who's lost a child will know what an anxious time that is. We managed to lose our Michael at the Arch in St. Louis. Michael was clever enough to go back to the car and even got in. Don't know how he did it, but he got in. And Dean Sweck, one of your teachers too, Ben. Dean Sweck lost a child in Chicago somewhere. And in Mary and Joseph's case, it was even more serious and troubling when they haven't kept a good eye out for that very special person God entrusted to their care. He'd always been a good lad, and now he'd just wandered off. So we can imagine the frustration that comes out in Mary's reproach. "Son, why have you treated us so? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And now Jesus expresses his own astonishment at their forgetfulness after all they'd heard from the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. How could they forget that Joseph was just Jesus' stepfather? "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Why did you forget that my number one concern must be God's house and the divine teaching that the rabbis there could impart?" We may wonder, why did Jesus need to ask the rabbis? Didn't the Son of God already know the whole Bible? Why did he need to advance in wisdom and stature? Well, the word stature can simply mean he grew in age, he grew older, or it can also mean that he grew taller, like any other 12-year-old boy. Remember Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we're told in Luke chapter 19, was short of stature, and so he needed to climb the tree to see Jesus. And the same applies to Jesus advancing in wisdom. Again, it has to do with his human nature, the process of his overall development, so that at the age of 12, his actions and accomplishments were greater than when he was an infant. At the age of 30, more notable than when he was 12. As Martin Luther writes, at the time of his humiliation, that's all his life before his leading up to his crucifixion, his humiliation, as we read in Philippians, he humbled himself even unto obedience under the on the cross. At the time of his humiliation, he was found in fashion like any other man, Luther writes, and not only before people, but also before God, he advanced in wisdom and grace. So Jesus goes home with his mother and stepfather and submits to them. He subordinates himself to them. He obeys the fourth commandment, honour your father and mother. He sets all of us a good example that we should respect our parents and grandparents, even if they're deceased, still remember them, honour them in our memories and in our what we say about them. Respect our parents and grandparents, our teachers, our police, and all in legitimate authority over us. As we sing in one of the original verses of the Christmas carol once in Royal David City, for he is our childhood's pattern, day by day like us he grew. He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew, and he feels for all our sadness, and he shares in all our gladness. As we continue on our way towards another new year, no doubt there'll be days when we poor sinners will lament our lack of wisdom, days when we cry out, days and times when we cry out with Agur, the son of Jekeh, surely I'm too stupid to be a man or a woman. But thank God we can look up to our Lord Jesus, the Holy Son of God, the one who's not only our example, but also and above all our Saviour. In him are found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge we hear in Colossians chapter 2. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. All the most worthwhile knowledge of any kind in the world is found in him. In him, through faith in him, all our sins, all our stupidities, all our shortcomings are covered and forgiven. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, God is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. He is our wisdom. He covers all and forgives all our lack of wisdom. He is our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.